You have filled out a visitor's card. Please pass it to the inside aisle. The usher's coming down right now, and he'll collect those. I have to make an admission to you this morning, and you'll probably understand why I'm saying what I am, and I'll say it carefully. Seldom do I enjoy the song just before I get up here to speak. I think my thoughts are not too much on the song, it's kind of on what I'm thinking about and what the Lord has laid upon my heart, but I appreciated that song this morning. The lovely name of our Lord Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to thank the trio and the instrumentalists, too, for the help in the service this morning, especially. Tonight, I'm going to attempt to face a battleground. In our study tonight, I'm going to face some scriptures that have been tossed around. In fact, many Bible expositors just plainly skip over them. Good ones, too. But I'm going to face them tonight. And I hope you'll be here, because I think it'll be helpful to you. Now, for background, I'm going to give you a little homework this afternoon. And if you want to put this down, I suggest that you read Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. That's in background for tonight's message. Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. You read those and come prepared tonight for a message. And that will be very, very important to know what is being said in Luke 16, 19 to 31. However, our message tonight, of course, will be based from the book of Ephesians. Now for this morning, turn to Daniel chapter 1. Comes right after the book of Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 1, page 896 in my Bible. Daniel chapter 1. Now, I wish you'd put a marker here because this is going to be home base. We're going to come back to it, but we're going to several scriptures. But Daniel chapter 1 is home base for this morning's message. Now shall we just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for special help right now. We realize again, without thy help, we can do absolutely nothing. We feel weak for the task which is before us in these next 40 minutes. So we're giving our weakness over to thee, and asking that thy strength may be made perfect in weakness. We claim once again the protection of the blood of Christ from the onslaughts and the distraction of Satan. And Lord, we're praying that thou wilt work in all hearts this morning. May the voice of God be heard in this place. For any benefit and blessing which we receive, we'll give thee the praise. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. Daniel 1 and 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And God will bless to us this portion which we have read from his holy word. This morning we are to begin a short series of messages taken from one of the famous Old Testament prophetic books, the book of Daniel. There will be several messages on Sunday morning taken from this lovely little book. Now, although the book of Daniel is prophetic in nature, my messages are not intended to be prophetic at all. Instead, I am going to select portions from the book of Daniel, from which I trust we will receive practical lessons. Lessons, if heeded, will be beneficial to us in the 20th century. I'm thinking of those words that Paul said, recorded in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, I trust that it's not going to be said of us what was said of the nation of Israel, recorded by the writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, when he said this, For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they didn't pay attention to the word of God. Now, if you have looked at the book of Daniel at all, you'll find that it divides itself into two parts. Part of it is history, and part of it is prophecy. Our Lord himself makes reference to the book of Daniel in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark chapter 13, and by making mention of it, it seems to confirm the book, its authenticity, and its accuracy, or he wouldn't have mentioned it at all. Now, I suppose most of us are aware of the three or four outstanding events in the book of Daniel, and in passing, I just want to mention them. I want you to notice with me the purpose of Daniel, chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice the purpose of Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. That was the purpose of Daniel. But also we have given to us in this book the promotion of Daniel. Look at chapter 2, verse 47. Chapter 2, verse 47. Here we have the promotion of Daniel. Remember, Daniel interpreted the king's dream. And this is what happened. Daniel 2:47. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So we have the purpose of Daniel, and we have the promotion of Daniel. But also in this book, we have the protection of Daniel's friends. Notice chapter 3, verse 27, right there on the page. Now, you remember what happened to these men. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were cast, remember, into the fiery furnace. And notice how they were protected. Daniel 3:27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. So we have the purpose of Daniel. We have the promotion of Daniel. We have the protection of Daniel's friends. And then finally, we have the preservation of Daniel himself. Notice chapter 6 and verse 23. Chapter 6 and verse 23. Remember, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Remember what happened to it. I didn't say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the lion's den, did I? They were in the fiery furnace. I misspoke myself. I guess I didn't. You'd have laughed at me by that time. All right, Daniel was in the lion's den, and notice his preservation. Daniel 6 and verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping that throughout the course of this series of messages, we will learn many things. But if we forget everything, I hope, or most everything, I hope there will be two truths that we will not forget. The first is this. There is a God in heaven. Would you believe it? That is found no less than 5 times in chapter 2 alone. The second truth I trust we will learn is this, that God is the Most High. And this is given to us 13 times in the book of Daniel. Now go back to chapter 1 and verse 1. I want you to look at those verses that we began with. Keep the marker here. We're going around this morning. Notice those verses which I read, and I want to read them again in your hearing. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that portion, just those two verses, there are several questions that come into my mind. I'm going to name three questions this morning, and I trust throughout the course of our message that we will answer them. The first one is, why did King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, besiege Jerusalem? That's question number one. The second question is, why did the Lord allow that heathen king Nebuchadnezzar to defeat Jehoiakim, king of Israel? That's question two. Question number three, why were part of the vessels of the house of God stolen and brought into the house of Shinar, Nebuchadnezzar's heathen deity? Now, I will try by the grace of God to answer those questions this morning. And in answering those questions, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there will be for us a personal, unforgettable lesson, which will either be to our profit and blessing, if regarded, or be to our condemnation, if disregarded. Now that's all introduction. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the departure. The departure. Right from the beginning, when God set aside the nation of Israel, God told his people that I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous for my people. God had warned his people repeatedly through his servant Moses of the consequences of any willful departure from his command. In fact, God warned them repeatedly if they broke their covenant with him what the consequences will be. Now, I'm going to read to you what the consequences would be. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it because I have before me Deuteronomy 31, verse 17. And let me read it to you. Then if they broke with God, if they did not heed what he said, this is what God said, I'll do. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? Israel received repeated warnings through the prophets that God sent to them, but still the people rebelled. As a result of their departure from God's law, there were many national disasters which were brought upon the nation of Israel. We have that recorded for us in the book of Kings, in the book of Chronicles, and in the book of Judges. But the thing finally ended in their destruction. I have to stop you. This was their departure. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I see this in the nations of the world today. And this United States is right at the top of the list. We will no longer have the God of our forefathers. The departure. But I see something else here. You know, there's a tendency of departure even among people who are saved, who are born again. My friends, I want to tell you something. If you're one of those, you won't get away with it. And I'm going to prove that to you this morning. I'm reminded of those words tucked away right in the middle of Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. For unto whosoever much is given, unto him shall much be required. The departure. Secondly, I want you to notice with me the downfall. Now, it's in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, and oh, how I wish we had time to read the entire chapter, where we learn of Israel's downfall at the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians. You see, it was in the idea of God and the plan of God that Israel was destined to bring blessing to the people and to the nations of the world. Now, had the leaders and the people of Israel remained faithful to God's rules and God's principles, judgment would have not come upon them. It wouldn't have been necessary. But because of their backslide, the divine wrath and the eventual punitive action came into being. Did you know that the Babylonian captivity, of which we read at the beginning of it, here in Daniel chapter 1, was predicted in detail by prophets, prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah? You say, prove it. All right, keep this place. Go back to Isaiah chapter 39. We're going to break in at verse 5. That's page 745 in my Bible. Isaiah chapter 39, and we're breaking in at verse 5. These people were not ignorant of what is, what they were doing. God had told them, Isaiah 39 and 5. I hope you found it. I'm going to begin reading. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to, what's the next word, class? Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, with whom thou shalt begat, they shall take them away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now, Jeremiah, the next book. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah comes right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 25, we're going to break in at verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 25, breaking in at verse 8, page 796 in my Bible. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants, and against all nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them a horror, and an hissing, and perpetual desolation. Now God adds some more. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation, and an horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. How long, class? All right, notice verse 12. And it shall come to pass when, what's the next words? 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. Now go to chapter 29, verse 10. Same book, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after, let's hear it, 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return even unto this place. Now let's just hold it there for a minute. I think we've given enough this morning, enough details, to show that the people knew that this captivity was going to come to them if they disobeyed God. And Daniel was involved, of course, in this captivity. And it's this why Daniel was brought into Babylon and he served in the house of the king. Now there's a tremendous application here, and I want you to hear me carefully. First of all, I want to address myself to any here this morning who are unsaved. My friends, you can refuse to listen to the warnings of God. You can. But if you refuse to listen to the warnings of God, you can only expect one thing, and that is righteous punishment. God has provided through His Son's death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, eternal salvation to all who will have it. And my Bible declares the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. My Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son, listen to me, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. No unsaved person will ever look into the face of God and say, God, you weren't fair. Never. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against those that commit such things, Romans 2:2. But then, there's another lesson here. For those who are saved, and for reasons only known to you, are not living your Christian lives as you know God would have you live them. In the case of Israel, the people refused to listen to the warnings of God through his prophets. They didn't care what they said, even though the prophets implored them to turn from idolatry. They still were embracing idolatry in various forms. I'm wondering if those of us who are born again here this morning are bowing down to idols, and as a result of this, are neglecting the things of God. I hope nobody's sleeping this morning, because I want you to hear. Now, I'm sure you might come to me and say, Mr. Pilon, we don't bow down to idols of wood and stone. Oh, don't we? We wouldn't stoop that far. I want you to know that an idol is anything. Did you hear what I said? An idol is anything that you place before God in your life. Have you ever thought of this? The idol may be your job. Well, you gotta work. The Bible says if a man can't work, he can't eat. That's right. But if your job is placed before God in your life, 70 years of captivity. The idol may be your education. Well, you say Solomon says, get wisdom. I agree. But if that education of yours is placed before God in your life, 70 years of captivity. The idol may be your house, your yard, your garden. Well, I've got a big investment in that place. I've got to keep it up. If that is taking precedence in your life, my Christian friend, 70 years of captivity. The idol may just be things. Well, we've got to have so many things in this day and age in which we live. 70 years of captivity. The idol may be your wife. Oh, you say, why, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. I agree. The idol may be your children. Why, you say children are an heritage of the Lord. If even your wife or your children take precedent over the things of the law, 70 years of captivity. I don't know what your idol is. You name it. 70 years of captivity. I want you to know something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. God always settles his accounts with those who refuse to heed his warnings, as he did with the nation of Israel. So he will do with you and with me. The departure. The downfall. Thirdly, I want you to notice with me the desolation. Now, there were many acts of disobedience committed by the people of Israel. But there was one act of disobedience which they committed over a long period of time, and I think this was the one, if I can use the idiom, the straw that broke the camel's back. This was the one that ultimately led to their captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. You say, what was that sin? Israel was guilty of stealing God's sabbatic year. Now, I'm going to explain this. You see, almost from the beginning of their history, God told this people his proposition concerning the land. The Bible calls it the law of the land. Now, keep in mind that for the most part, these people were engaged for their business in agriculture. And I'll have more to say about that later. But God told his people that they could till the land for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, the land should remain idle. That's what God told them. Now, this command was accompanied by a promise. God said, if you till the land for 6 years, you'll have harvests that are bountiful enough so that in the seventh year you'll have plenty of food for yourself and your cattle, and even the man that comes to visit you. Now, again, the people of Israel were not ignorant of this, and I want to prove that. Turn back to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. And I'm going to start at verse 1. That's page 160 in my Bible. Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 1. Leviticus 25 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. But that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine unpruned. It is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be food. Now just let me stop here a moment. Nothing in these verses is said that God would punish his people if they disregarded it. Nothing is said here. But look at chapter 26, verse 1. Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make no idols nor carved image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Read the next verse with me, class. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. But now, what would happen to the people of Israel if they did disregard what God had commanded them? Look at the same chapter, verse 32. Verse 32, Leviticus 26. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies who dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye are in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when ye dwelt upon it. How long was it, class? 70 years. Now, the people of Israel could not say that God had not told them. He told them what he expected in regard to the land. But instead of tilling the land God's way, the people disregarded the law of the Lord, went on in their own way, their own program, in direct defiance of what God had told them. I wonder if they thought that God had forgotten his word. I wonder if they thought that God would overlook their transgression. I wonder if they rationalize, like so many Christians do, their wrongdoing. Ladies and gentlemen, sin pays wages. Judah's sin against the law of the land lasted for 490 years. That's 70 Sabbaths. 70 years. They worked the soil for all they could get out of it. In their quest for material wealth, they apparently thought that they could outmaneuver God. But they were mistaken. Listen. No nation, no individual whose souls can neglect the fact that if you sow, my Christian friend as well, you reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 says. Now, I want you to notice from the Old Testament, and I realize I'm taking you to a lot of places this morning, how this law of sowing and reaping is applied to this, which we have in Daniel chapter 1, the Babylonian captivity. We turn to 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 36. We're going to break in at verse 14, that's page 532 in my Bible. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, beginning at verse 14, page 532 in my Bible. 2 Chronicles 36, beginning at verse 14. Moreover, all the chiefs of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the nations, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up early, and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Now notice the therefore. Therefore he brought them upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him who stooped for age. He gave all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, and all these he brought to Babylon, and they burned the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels, and those who had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the king of Persia. Notice verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill how many years? 70 years. 70 years. Now, I don't know how this affects you. So only I can speak for myself this morning. What we have considered up to this point is a very stern and it's a solemn lesson to my heart. You know what it tells me? I cannot persist in disobedience to God's laws and escape inevitable judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel's message to us this morning is loud and clear. God hates and he judges sin. First of all, I address everyone in this room this morning who has been saved by the grace of God. My Christian friend, if you are neglecting the word of God and fellowship with his people, payday is coming. God in his graciousness gave the people of Israel a lot of rope. 490 years, a lot of slack. But finally the reckoning came. How long was it, class? 70 years. You can neglect attending the Lord's table if you want to. You can neglect the Sunday evening service if you want to. You can neglect attending the prayer meeting if you want to. But payday is coming. Mighty quiet in here this morning. My Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before. Not one. As far as the people of Israel were concerned, put it in today's language, they were putting the dollar before the God of heaven. Why, man, why let the land rest? We can get another crop, make all kinds of money. Payday came. God got his Sabbath as he said he would. We read this morning how God pled with his people to obey him. And he pleads with us today, my Christian friend. What are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as ye see the day of God approaching. Hebrews 10:25. But then, I have to give a word of caution to any who may be unsaved here this morning. I'm thankful that God's offer of salvation is still being made available. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. John 5:24. But my unsaved friend, payday is coming. You know what the Bible says? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And the Lord shall answer, yes. And in thy name cast out demons? And the Lord will answer, yes. And in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord shall answer, yes. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now we've considered the departure, the downfall, the desolation. Now in the last couple of minutes, the discovery. Go back to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. Daniel 1 and verse 2, rather. Daniel 1 and verse 2. This is the discovery. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. King of Judah was placed in Nebuchadnezzar's hand. You notice what we see here? Here is God's sovereign control over peoples and nations. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, so he turneth it, whithersoever he will. Proverbs 22:1. God raised up a despot like Nebuchadnezzar, whom he called my servant to carry out his judgment upon his people. My unsaved friend, God's not going to let you go. He's doing everything he can to bring you to himself, even circumstances of life. My Christian friend here this morning, you may elect to walk in disobedience to what God has revealed to you in his word. I want you to know he has anything at his disposal. Accidents. They're not accidents with God. In this story, he used an unsaved king And he may elect to use that in your life. It could be drastic. Why? To bring you back into a right relationship with God. Oh, listen. I'm completely soaked with perspiration this morning. I've never labored any harder in a message in my life. I'm asking God to speak to us all. Shall we pray? God our Father, take these words which have been of thyself, sanctify them to all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 374 in closing.